to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It is Monday, July 10th. And Debbie and I got back yesterday evening from Branson, Missouri. That's kind of our special place to go when we want to get away. And so we left on Thursday and made our way to Branson, Missouri from Texarkana, Texas. And beautiful, beautiful drive through the mountains to get to Branson. And we stayed at a great place, the Branson Woods. I don't know what they call it, Branson Woods, I guess. But we had a cabin, just a one-room cabin, and it was just very private there and close to everything. And we got to see Esther, the play from Sights and Sounds Theater. And so Debbie and I have seen several from the Sights and Sounds Theater. Such a beautiful place, and they bring the Bible to the stage. And so we saw, I think the first one we ever saw was Noah. We liked Noah so well. And if you've ever been to the Sights and Sounds Theater, you know that they do just a tremendous job. The set design is just unbelievable. And it's this large stage that wraps around. And so we love Noah. We saw Samson. We love Samson. We saw Jesus and loved Jesus, although I believe that Jesus is much harder to do to bring to the stage because there's just so much. And so you can't do everything in the life of Jesus, so you just have to pick and choose. When you do Noah, when you do Samson, it's a lot more condensed, and so just a few chapters in Scripture about those guys, so you can bring the whole thing to life. And then they did Esther, Queen Esther. Esther is 10 chapters, but the whole biblical account of Esther, they brought that from start to finish and did a tremendous job. I just want to encourage you. Esther is playing through the end of the year. If you can, visit Sights and Sounds Theater and see Esther, because it is just amazing. The detail to the stage and to all the props and the city of Susa that they put together just blows you away. It is so detailed. It is so gorgeous. The costuming so gorgeous, and the actors and actresses did a great job. The music was well written and choreographed. It was just, man, it just blew us away. So we had a great time in Branson. We also saw The Legends. We're kind of debating. We've seen several of the shows there, and so we saw The Legends, and it was Kenny Chesney. I'm not a huge music guy, but don't know any of his music. But the guy, Debbie, told me, hey, that guy really sounds like Kenny Chesney. And then Lady Gaga, who is a weird person in my view, but the lady could sing. She could sing great. And then they did the Blues Brothers. So I remembered the Blues Brothers, Jake and Elwood, and John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. And the two guys that did the Blues Brothers, they were tremendous. After that was intermission, and then we saw Michael Jackson, which is really hard to do. The guy could dance. He looked like Michael, but the vocals, that's harder to do. And then Elvis, the guy really looked like Elvis, and sang pretty well, had some trouble on some of the big, big notes. But anyway, we had a great time there watching The Legends, and now it's we're back in the saddle, so to speak, back to work. Time off is wonderful, but I really personally tend to do better with more of a schedule. And so I like the routine. I like the schedule. And so I look forward to the start of this week and getting back into the routine of preaching Wednesday night, preaching Sunday as we finish the Ten Commandments. I'm on commandment number 9 for this Sunday. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And then commandment number 10 for the following Sunday. And that is you shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's spouse, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. On Wednesday nights at First Baptist Texarkana, we're going through the book of Genesis. And so I've been doing this for a long time. Genesis has lots and lots and lots of stuff in it. So we're just now on Genesis chapter 33. And I think I've been in this this series for coming on 2 years, year and 7 months. So hopefully finish by the end of 2023, but we'll see. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you today about the strange and wonderful ways of God. The strange and wonderful ways of God. You have probably heard that statement, strange are the ways of God, because his ways are not our ways. The book of Isaiah, the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so far are my ways above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts. And so when God works, we scratch our heads so much of the time because we say, this is just strange. This is odd to me. We would never do it that way. God does things that we don't understand, and he puts us in situations where we just can't understand what's going on. That's okay. He understands. He knows what he is doing. And the judge of all the earth deals justly, and he makes a way where there seems to be no way. And just you think about the greatest Old Testament miracle, the parting of the Red Sea. God purposely led Moses and the people to this place that was between a rock and a hard place. They had the sea in front of them. They had Pharaoh's army behind them. They couldn't get out. There was nowhere to go. And in the movie, The Ten Commandments, you know, Yul Brynner, who played Pharaoh, he says, Moses, God is not much of a general. He has led them to a place where there is no retreat. And so that's my Yul Brynner impersonation, not very good. But anyway, God did that on purpose because he was going to set the stage for the greatest Old Testament miracle, the parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of Pharaoh and his armies in the sea. We would never have done it that way. But God does things in strange and wonderful ways. So what do we see in the Gospels about the strange and wonderful ways of the Lord? Matthew chapter 15, a great passage of Scripture and a great account in Scripture of Jesus and the Canaanite woman, the Syrophoenician woman. It says in verse 21 of Matthew 15, and Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon is north. It's on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. It's a Canaanite area. It's not an Israelite area. It's a Canaanite area. And it says in verse 22, and behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. She was recognizing his messiahship. O Lord, son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. She has a need, a great need, and the need is not for herself per se, it's for her daughter, who is not just demon-possessed, but cruelly demon-possessed. And it says in verse 23, but he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, send her away, for she is shouting out after us. But he answered and said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came again and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered again and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. The strange and wonderful ways of the Lord. Now, when we think about this account, you know, oftentimes you hear preachers say, think about this story. And sometimes when we say that, people get the idea that it's just, you know, it's a story like Mark Twain would write a story. This is a true biblical account that took place in the life and ministry of Jesus, took place in the life of this woman, unnamed Syrophoenician woman, Canaanite woman. But she was a woman with great faith. Now, we think about how Jesus responded to her, because the Lord does things that test us, that test our faith, to see how serious are we. This woman is coming up to him. This is prayer. This is a picture of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is coming before the Lord, bringing our needs before the Lord. And she starts out her prayer, O Lord, have mercy on me. Son of David. She cries out for mercy. She recognizes who he is. He's the son of David. He is the Messiah. And she brings her need. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. And he didn't answer her a word. She gets right off the bat from the Lord. As she brings her need to him, right off the bat, she gets the silent treatment. She gets the test of silence. Well, how's she going to respond to the test of silence? Is she going to say, well, I came before you with my need, but you didn't respond to me. So I guess I'm just going to go away. I guess that's your way of saying I don't care about you. Did he care about her? Yes. Did he care about her need? Yes. Did he want her to come to him? Yes. Did he want to meet her need? Yes. He just has a strange way, from our perspective, of showing that. And see, all the time when you and I have a silence test from the Lord, it is there to see, are we going to persist? Do we really want this from the Lord? Are we going to keep coming? Ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. Maybe you've been praying about something and you've been getting the silent test from the Lord in response. He didn't answer her a word. Maybe he's not answering you a word and you're frustrated and you're saying, God, I've been praying and praying about this and you're not answering me. Maybe it's about a decision that is coming up. You need to choose this job or that job. You need to move or stay, whatever it might be. God, you're not answering me. Lord, why are the heavens brass? Why does it feel like my prayers aren't getting any higher than the ceiling? And God is testing you. This is a test. You know, remember when you were a kid and you were watching TV and it would come on, you'd hear this loud beep and they would say, this is a test of the emergency broadcasting system. This is a test. It's only a test. If this were a real emergency, you would be contacted. But this is just a test. I remember as a kid, I listen to that and think, this is so irritating. Why? They're always testing the emergency broadcasting system. I never experienced anything that was real. It was just a test, just to make sure everything worked. Well, hey, the Lord gives us a test of our faith. And the first barrier that he puts up is the silent treatment, the silent test. Will we persevere through the silence? He didn't answer her a word, the scripture said. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, send her away, for she is shouting out after us. She didn't give up. She kept shouting out. Even though he gave her the silent treatment, she kept shouting and kept shouting and kept shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. So that's the first thing, the silent test he gives her to see, how serious are you? Are you going to keep asking? Are you going to keep seeking? Are you going to keep knocking? And then it says that she came and began to bow down before him saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm in need. Help me. Surely Jesus will respond to that. The dear, sweet, loving Savior, compassionate, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Surely he'll respond to that cry from this mother's heart, Lord, help me. But he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I mean, the inference is, I wasn't sent for you. I wasn't sent for your daughter. I was just sent to the Jews, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So you could infer from that, if you're the woman, well, he wasn't sent to help me. He doesn't care about me. He wasn't sent for me. He's not interested in what's going on in my life. Okay, Jesus, I'm out. I guess you don't want to help me. You don't want to even talk to me. And then when finally I get up in front of you and fall down before you, you just tell me you weren't sent for me. It's a test. The silent test and then the indifference test. And the Lord is testing you and me when we have a need. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about the strange and wonderful ways of God. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, we're talking about the strange and wonderful ways of God. Isaiah said that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God does things that we don't understand and that seem very odd to us, but they're not odd to God. And we can get in on the strange and wonderful ways of God. And we're talking about the Canaanite woman, the Syrophoenician woman. She lived in the district of Tyre and Sidon. And the biblical account is in Matthew chapter 15. She was only one of two people that Jesus ever said, "You have great faith." Both of the people, the centurion, Roman centurion, and then this unnamed woman, they were the only two people that Jesus marveled in, and he was just so pleased with them. Oh, woman, he says, "Your faith is great." He says to that Roman centurion, "Your faith is great. I haven't found such great faith in all Israel." And what made this woman's faith great? She passed the test that Jesus put at her, the strange test. You know, she's the one, she has a need. "Oh Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." Her need is for her daughter whom she loved so deeply. And the Lord doesn't answer her. So we talked about the silent test, the silence from the Lord. And that's a test. That's a test to see, are you going to keep coming before me with your need? Because she is coming before the Lord with her need. That's a picture of prayer. And sometimes we think of prayer as this mystical thing. We can't see the Lord. He's invisible, but he's present. And Jesus says to his children, "I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." And the name for God, Jehovah Shammah, Yahweh Shammah, the Lord ever present. And so when we pray, God hears us. If our hearts are right, he hears us. And so we can know that we can come boldly. Hebrews chapter 4, 15, "We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can bring our needs to him, just as she did. She did it in the physical, we do it in the spiritual, but it's the same picture. So she brought her need. "Lord, here's my need." And he meets her need, first of all, with silence. Then it's secondly with indifference. The silence, she keeps on coming. "Lord, help me." She bows before his feet. And then he meets her second request with indifference, seeming indifference. He's not indifferent. He cares about her and he cares about her daughter, but it's seeming indifference. It's just the indifference test. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." "Okay, Lord, I guess you don't care about me. You only care about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not an Israelite, so I guess you don't care." Well, no, she didn't stop there. When he said that to her, she came and began to bow down. "Lord, help me." Then he says to her, "It is not good." Or she says to him, "Lord, help me." And he says to her, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Oh, man. I mean, can you imagine that you get that response from the Lord? "I am bowing down before you. I am crying out, Lord, help me. I have this tremendous need." And that's his response. He basically calls her a dog. "The children are the Jews. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Obviously, it's not. I mean, you think about that statement. I mean, you don't put, "Hey, kids, here's what you're going to eat, but I'm not going to let you have it. I'm going to give it to the dogs." You don't take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, when the Lord gave her that test, we go from the silence test to the indifference test. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," to the endurance test. I mean, this is really checking to see, Is she all in? Is she looking to Jesus to meet her need? And will she not let go? Because that statement for many of us would cause us to say, forget it. Why did I ever come to you? You're not going to help me. You don't even care about me. You just called me a dog. But that's not how she responded. She said, yes, Lord. You're exactly right. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Lord, I need a crumb from you. I know you're able to do all things. I need a crumb for you, from you. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed, and I'm going to stay here until you meet my need, until you give me a crumb. It's so much like Genesis 32, where Jacob wrestled with the Lord, wrestled all night with the Lord. And, you know, Jacob wrestling with guys, God not a good wrestler? At any time, the Lord could have defeated Jacob. Jacob's no match for the Lord, obviously, but it's a picture of how we fight with the Lord, how we wrestle with the Lord. And the Lord says, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. And he touched his hip, and he was dislocated in his hip. And Jacob wouldn't let go. And I love this statement that he makes in Genesis 32. I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he held on and held on and held on. That's what this woman is doing. She is basically saying by her consistent prayer, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And Jesus answered her, Matthew 15:28, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Hey, here's the thing. The Lord wants to answer our prayers when our prayers are in line with his will. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, 1 John chapter 5. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. And that's the promise from God. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. We can repeat that back to the Lord. And as we pray, we say, Lord, this is what you said, and I'm praying according to your will, and I'm trusting you that you're going to do, because you say that you will do. If I ask according to your will, you hear me. And if I know that you hear me, and whatever I ask, I know that I have the request which I have asked from you. And I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to give up. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not faint, not lose heart, not give up, not throw in the towel. Hey, I want to ask you a question, very personal. Have you thrown in the towel on a prayer request because you've gotten the silent treatment from the Lord? Because you've gotten indifferent, seemingly the Lord's been indifferent to you, because he's put up this barrier and you've had the endurance test and you just say, I can't do this anymore. Let me go, for the dawn is breaking, the Lord said to Jacob. I will not let you go unless you bless me. I like what the scripture tells us in Luke chapter 24, the road to Emmaus. Cleopas and another unnamed disciple, they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They're very sad because the Lord has been crucified, and it is Sunday, and Jesus walks up with them, and he just begins walking, and they don't know it's Jesus. He's hidden from their sight. So it says their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And so he starts asking him questions. The Lord just, you know, he plays like he doesn't understand, doesn't know what's going on. What are you guys talking about? Oh, what do you mean? What are we talking about? We're talking about what everybody's talking about. Everybody's talking about Jesus. This is big news. It says, we were hoping that this one was going to redeem Israel. Besides all this, this is the third day since these things happened. But then there's some women that they amazed us. They said they were at the tomb early in the morning. They didn't find his body. And they said that they had seen a vision of angels. And they said he was alive. And they said some of those who were with us, they went to the tomb and found it exactly as the woman also said, but they did not see him. And Jesus said to these two guys, O foolish men and slow in heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now watch this. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he would go farther. He acted as though he would go farther, and they urged him, saying, Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. And he went in to stay with them, and as they were breaking bread, their eyes were opened, and they recognized it was the Lord, and he vanished from their sight. But I love that. He acted as though he would go farther. He didn't want to go farther. He wanted them to say, No, no, stay with us, stay with us. We want you to be with us. That's a picture of Jacob. I will not let you go unless you bless me. And some of us have thrown in the towel on our prayers, and God has given us this desire in our heart. Maybe it's a desire to preach the gospel, and doors haven't opened to preach or to teach, and you throw in the towel. Well, I guess God doesn't want me to do that, because if he wanted me to do that, he'd open up the door. And I've been praying about this, and it's just been silence from the Lord. I've been praying about this, and it seems to be indifference from the Lord. I've been praying about this, and it seems to be one red light after another. Listen, God knows, God cares, God wants you to keep coming. The Lord values persistence. That's why he told the parable about the friend at midnight who knocked on the door. A friend has come to me, help me out, I don't have any bread. The guy says, go away. We've already locked up for the night. Kids are all in bed. We're all in bed. Go away. Shoe fly, don't bother me. And he kept knocking and he wouldn't stop. And Jesus said, listen, I tell you, he's not going to get up because he was his friend. He's going to get up because of his persistence. And then he tells us, Luke 11, about ask, seek, and knock. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. And don't ever quit. I will not let you go, Lord, unless you bless me. Hey, the strange and wonderful ways of God. God does want to answer our prayers. The scripture says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you. But he wants to know how serious you are. And he does put up some obstacles, some tests of faith to see, are you serious? Are you going to keep coming? Or is this just some passing whim? This just something that, you know, you've had on your heart for a day or two, and you just want to, boom, to see it happen. And it doesn't happen like that. I read about the great man of faith that prayed for 50 years for one of his friends to come to Christ. And that guy came to Christ. George Mueller was his name, was the man of faith. But he prayed for 50 years for one of his friends to come to Christ, and it didn't happen until George Mueller died, and that man got saved at George Mueller's funeral. Hey, don't throw in the towel praying. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking, because Jesus said, everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks it shall be opened. And then he closes out in Luke 11 with this wonderful story. He said, now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Can there be a greater gift in all the universe than the Holy Spirit of God? You know, in Matthew's gospel, when it says this, it says, how much more will the Father give what is good to those who ask him? What is good is the Holy Spirit. That is the best. And when you and I have the Holy Spirit, we have, so to speak, in crude language, the goose that laid the golden egg. We have everything in the Lord. What you need, what I need, what we need is the Holy Spirit of God, who comes with all the gifts and every provision that we need. It is found in Him. And listen, God is a good God. You and I don't give bad things to our children. They ask us, hey, Father, can I have an egg? Well, how about a scorpion that can sting you instead? Ha, ha, ha. That's funny. Father, can I have a fish? No, how about a poisonous snake that will bite you? We would never, ever, ever do that. And we're sinners. And God is holy, holy, holy. God is good. From top to bottom, from left to right, He is good always. And if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall our Father who is in heaven give what is good, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. So ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking, and don't throw in the towel. I will not let you go, as Jacob said, unless you bless me. Listen, this is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I would love to talk to you about this subject, the strange and wonderful ways of God. Maybe you have a question or a comment, or maybe you have a short testimony. Don't take up too much time. A short testimony of how God worked strangely in your life, but wonderfully in your life, as you didn't give up and you didn't let go. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are talking about the strange and wonderful ways of God. From Matthew chapter 15, how the Lord dealt with the Canaanite woman, the Syrophoenician woman, the pagan woman, not an Israelite, who came before the Lord with her need, who recognized who He was, the Son of David, the Messiah of Israel, and she came with her need, and she would not let the Lord go, so to speak, until and unless He blessed her. And Jesus finished with her as she held on to Him, and He said to her with a big smile, no doubt, "Oh woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter, who was cruelly demon-possessed, was healed at once. This is an unnamed woman, and she had great faith. Now, you and I want to be people, no doubt, of great faith. We can be people of great faith if we ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking, and don't ever let go as we pray according to the Lord's will, and we keep asking Him. And we're like the widow in Luke 18 who says to that unrighteous judge, "Give me legal protection against my opponent, my adversary," and she would not quit. We quit too easily on our prayers, and because of that, we don't see answers to prayer. So let me encourage you to keep praying, keep seeking His face, keep trusting Him, knowing that the delays are not denials. They're just God's way of testing you. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to hear from you if you have a question, a comment, maybe a short testimony of how the strange and wonderful ways of God played out in your life. And right now we have Kathy on the line from Arkansas. Kathy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Brother Jeff. I listen to you every day. I love you and your wife, Debbie.
Thank you.
I need prayer really desperately for my grandson and my son. My grandson attempted suicide, and he was on life support for 8 days, and they didn't expect him to live. He'll probably be on dialysis the rest of his life because he took so many Benadryl, and then it He took ibuprofen that's affecting his liver, but he is going to recover. He's in the hospital still, but my son is bipolar schizophrenic, and I've got to find him a place to live. And every time I try, the doors shut my face. And I've got to get him out of here before my grandson comes home, because he don't want to deal with my son's craziness anymore. Because his mother is on hospice, and he's been watching her die. And my grandson, he just couldn't take it anymore. And it's just bad for a 19-year-old son kid to have to go through. And we'd been reading the whole book of Revelations together. He was right there at the time to give his life to the Lord. And he's just wanting to really bad, but he hasn't done it yet. And we watched The Shack together twice. And he really understood finally how God can forgive you. He could never understand how God could forgive such evil people. But in that movie, he understood how God could forgive you. And I told him, God forgave you for anything. And I'm like that woman. I just keep praying and praying. And I don't want to get discouraged and quit praying.
Right. Well, Kathy, what's his name, your grandson's name?
Matthew.
Matthew. Well, let's pray for him right now. Father, I thank you for Kathy. I thank you for her calling in today. And Lord, this is so much with her son and her daughter-in-law, and now her grandson Matthew, in a situation with the taking so many pills and damaging his liver. Lord, we thank you for sparing his life. And Father, we do pray that you would take all this bad that is in their lives right now, and that you'd turn it for good through the power of the cross. So Lord, you have said in your word, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we know from Romans 8:28 that you work all things together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. And so I pray for Kathy as she prays for her family. Lord, that her faith would persist, and that you would answer her prayers, and you would turn things around in her family, and turn things around in Matthew's life especially, in her son's life. And Lord, that you would show yourself as the God who is able, the God who is mighty and strong, the God who can do all things as we trust you, as we look to you. Lord, I thank you for the true account of that Syrophoenician woman who prayed and who came and begged you at your feet, Lord Jesus. Lord, help me. And she didn't quit. She didn't give up. And Lord, you answered her prayer, and you commented about her great faith. So I just pray that for Kathy, that Father, that she would keep praying, and that she too would see you answer her prayers as she puts her faith and trust in you and you alone to work a miracle, because you are a miracle working God. So we pray this all in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. So, Kathy, thank you for calling in today, and I know we have other listeners that will be lifting you and your family up to the Lord, and may God do just like he promises in his word, Romans 8:28, that he is able to take all these bad things and work those together for good, and so we pray that in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for calling in today. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you and what is going on in your life, and how God may be in a situation like Kathy had. Maybe everything looks very dark. Maybe you're in the middle of that test, and you're getting silence from the Lord, or you're getting what seems like indifference from the Lord. As he told that woman, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why are you coming to me? That's kind of the inference that we would pick up on that. But it's just a test. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care. It's just a test. You know, you read in the book of Job, and Job is asking God, why, when he lost all his children, he lost all his wealth, lost his health, and God doesn't answer him. We don't hear God's answer to Job until we get into chapter 38, I believe, is the chapter where the Lord finally speaks. And God, you know, it's just like he is silent for all that time. And it says, then, Job 38:1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me." It is very awesome when God responds to Job, but it's very fear-producing. And Job says, I heard of thee with the ear, but now my eye sees thee, and I repent in dust and ashes. He says that in Job chapter 42. Because God is saying, hey, you're asking a lot of things of me, and you don't know what you're talking about. And you don't, you're kind of forgetting who you're talking to. Now, Job came close. He was so frustrated, and he was hurting, so he came close to being a little disrespectful to God, and I don't think he crossed that line, but the Lord is saying, hey, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know, or who stretched the line on it, or what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy, where were you? You're asking things like we're equals. We're not, God says. I am so far above you, and you need to remember who you are and who I am. I'll never forget my pastor, Dr. DeMond Shook, who's with the Lord now, and what he said. I mentioned this last week, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, as Solomon says, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And DeMond, I wrote this in my Bible, DeMond said, what does it mean to fear the Lord? It means you give God his rightful place as king, as master, as sovereign, and you take your rightful place as slave, as doulos, as the bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you recognize, hey, his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. God does things I can never understand. And you know, when we ask the Lord questions about why, it's kind of like a two-year-old asking about quantum physics. The answer is way beyond what a two-year-old can comprehend. You can't teach a two-year-old about quantum physics because they don't have the capacity to understand the answer. And a lot of things, I think, you know, we like to ask the question why. A lot of things in our lives, if God told us why, we wouldn't understand it. So he says, instead of answering our whys, he says, my child, will you just trust me? Trust me. I've shared with you before that my father-in-law is a great pastor. He's with the Lord now. He pastored Alameda Baptist Church in Houston for many, many years, and been in the ministry for 50 years. When he had a stroke and he was in a coma for 3 months, and finally came out of the coma, came out without, his personality was altered some, but he still could speak and walk and everything. I mean, it's just a miracle of God that he wasn't, permanently disabled from that. But when he came out and I got to talk to him, I said to him, Gerald, I said, what is the Lord, what is he speaking to your heart through all of this? What is he saying to you? And I remember Gerald said to me, he's saying, trust me. Trust me. And that is the message in the Bible. God to us is, will you trust me? In every situation, God is saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you trust me? And what is our answer to him? The Canaanite woman, Matthew 15, she trusted the Lord. She trusted that God cares about me and he cares about my daughter. She trusted that the Lord is one who answers prayer. She trusted that God was able in her situation. She trusted and she didn't quit. She didn't give up. Let me share with you a great scripture, Psalm 71, verse 14. I ran across this years ago and it just leaped off the page. Psalm 71, verse 14, but as for me, I will hope continually and I will praise you yet more and more. Isn't that great? I will hope continually, and my hope is in the Lord. And so I have confident assurance. You know, hope in the Bible is not a wish. We use that word hope like, I want to play golf this afternoon. I hope it doesn't rain. Well, you're just kind of wishing. But hope in the Bible is not a wish. It's confident expectation in what God has said. I will hope continually in the Lord, and I will praise you, Lord, yet more and more. And when it gets darker, and when the storm winds blow, and when the rains come, I will praise you yet more and more, because you are worthy, worthy, worthy. And I know that you're over it all. As Paul said, for momentary light affliction is producing us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Whatever you're going through today, you need to trust the Lord. You need to hope continually. You need to praise Him more and more. You know, sometimes in our prayers, we lack the praise. We lack the hallelujahs. I think it was Billy Sunday that said to a congregation once, some of you need to take out the groans and shove in some hallelujahs in your prayers. And we moan and groan before the Lord, but we need to praise Him yet more and more. And when we praise God, we just recognize His greatness. And we say, Lord, we know that you're over this. Lord, we know that you're able. Lord, we know that no matter how bad the situation looks, you are the God of hope. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13 is a verse that I believe every Christian needs to memorize and needs to get it down in his heart, her heart, that God is the God of hope. You know, when people do commit suicide, when they go that route, what is the problem? They've lost hope. They've lost sight of Romans 15:13, that God is the God of hope, that God can do anything, that God can take the situation that Moses and the people found themselves in, and God can part the Red Sea. God can do a miracle. Remember this phrase, God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what He can do. And so as you and I trust Him, as we take steps of faith, we can see God do great and mighty things in response, because we do not give up. The strange and wonderful ways of God. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Hey, follow me on Twitter at Jeff Shreve, and I'd love to connect with you. Go out, shine, and share, and let the Lord use your life. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.